Frank Sesich of Blue Ash, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
All summer, there are tours at the Hudson Athens Lighthouse every second Saturday of the month through October. You can visit the 1874 lighthouse that's in the middle of the Hudson River. The tours leaving from the Henry Hudson Riverfront Park in Hudson at 11 a.m., noon, 1 p.m., and 2 p.m., and from the Athens Village Riverfront Park at 11:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., 1:30 p.m., and 2:30 p.m. That's the Hudson Athens Lighthouse Tours all summer on the second Saturday. And you can find out more on the WGXC Community Calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Kravitz and Son Roofing, a local family-owned and operated full-service roofing company for more than 48 years. Specializing in residential and commercial roof construction, repair, maintenance, and replacement, using high-quality and affordable roofing products. Information at 518-567-4026 or online at KravitzandSonRoofing.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Fridman Gallery in New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You know, I was listening to the radio, and I heard this thing!
90.7 FM. Listener-aided and abetted radio.
You Welcome to Clubhouse Radio on 90.7 FM WGXC, broadcasting Acre Hudson Catskill. And today, just messing up a little bit here. Don't worry. Today we're going to be talking about how COVID has all affected our mental health. A lot of people going back to school. Mental issues we're going to be talking about. We're going to be giving everybody some advice and all that. Just the general stuff. We're going to be talking about the LGBTQ community. We're going to go into some would you rather questions, and then we're going to go back into our topics. But right now, we'll be right back after the news and weather.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Natasha Von Holdridge is reporting for Columbia Green Media that early voting is coming to Kinderhook, according to Columbia County's expansion plan. The County Board of Elections received an early voting expansion grant of nearly $19,000 to add early voting sites within the county. The grant funding supports the addition of a polling site in the county's largest voting area, which is Kinderhook. County Republican Elections Commissioner Kelly Miller-Simons said, and I quote, "We're now having to have an early voting site in our largest municipality. So that will mean we will have two early voting sites, and this grant will help us to cover the cost," end quote. Early voting allows voters to cast their ballots during the 9-day early voting period from October 23rd to the 31st this year. Columbia County Democratic Elections Commissioner Ken Dow said, and I quote, "These schedules are arranged so there's weekend voting, there's weekday voting, and there's some evening voting. Trying to make it available to people with different schedules, that's why the hours vary from day to day," end quote. New York began allowing early voting in 2019. In 2019, Columbia County had 3,371 early voters. In 2020, that number increased to 6,000 people, Dow said. Until now, the only place to vote early in the county was at the Columbia County Office Building on State Street in Hudson. The Kinderhook early voting site will be at the Martin H. Glenn Municipal Building in Valencia. Any registered voter in Columbia County can vote early at either location. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Mid-Hudson News is reporting several local police departments were called out to the Brookwood Secure Center for Youth in Claverick to restore peace during the early afternoon of September 15th. According to the New York State Police, law enforcement gained control of the situation and the facility was secured. Three staff members suffered non-life-threatening injuries and were transported to Columbia Memorial Hospital for treatment. None of the residents were injured. The City of Hudson Police Department, Chatham Police Department, Greenport Police Department, and other police departments and EMS agencies assisted at the scene. The investigation is ongoing, according to the state police, and will be updated as soon as additional information becomes available. The Brookwood Center on Spook Rock Road is operated by the New York State Office of Children and Family Services and houses male and female youth who, while under the age of 16 and now 16 and 17 years of age, were convicted and sentenced in adult criminal court or family court as part of the Raise the Age legislation. Depending upon the sentence, youth may remain in OCFS custody until they are 21 years of age. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Paul Nelson reports for the Times Union. The Nisqually Unitown Board is now divided on the decision of who will be chosen as the town's next police chief looms. Now that the town has thrown out disciplinary charges against acting police chief Michaels.
Sorry about the technical difficulty, guys. We were just going through a little bit there. We're back. And welcome to the show. But first, we're going to have to go through a little disclaimer. All views and opinions expressed on Clubhouse Radio are our views and may not represent the views and opinions of the Clubhouse parent organization, the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. So anyways, that can start us off.
You know, everyone knows and loves me. No, I'm just kidding. It's my first time on the show. Today we're going to be talking about some pretty hard-hitting topics such as mental health, abuse, etc., etc. Everyone, can you introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Noah. Nice to meet you. I think I was on here. Yeah, I was on here last time, and I had such fun that I came on again.
I'm Nakira. I work with Mental Health Association and Youth Clubhouse.
I am Danny. I work with Clubhouse, also the track director. I've done about 60 radio lab shows. Share your voice at the clubhouse. Express yourself at the clubhouse. Tracks program at the clubhouse.
Be yourself at the clubhouse. Hi, I'm Danny. I work with Clubhouse. Track youth director also. I said I did like about 60 Radio Lab shows already, so this should be easy for me and fun. I'm just here sitting in. Let's get it.
Okay, so I'm Nakira. I work with Mental Health Association and Youth Clubhouse, the new family educator.
Phoebes or Nate, do you guys want to hop in?
Well, I'm Nate. I work for MHA, and I've been doing this for a little bit. So, yeah.
Yeah, hey, and this is Phoebes tuning in. You know, all things radio, all things Clubhouse, Clubhouse number one fan. So, good to be with y'all.
Okay, so COVID, it's a big thing in our lives, and a lot of people during the year and a half of quarantine and staying at your house have gotten sad, maybe a mental illness, maybe their mental illness has gotten worse, and you know, that's pretty bad, and a lot of people are too shy to actually talk about it to others. So I know I have a lot of mental illnesses, clinical depression, anxiety, etc., and it's pretty important to, you know, have someone to talk to and hear others talk about it so that you know how to cope, you know, etc.
Yeah, of course. And I think it's such a serious issue that everybody could benefit just hearing a little bit more about.
Definitely agreed.
Okay. So moving on that, anybody want to just step in and say how the year and a half of COVID and limited interaction has affected our lives?
I mean, it's been pretty rough. My son was, he had COVID. He was tested positive on his fifth birthday. It was like real sad, and it was like messed me up real bad. But I don't think he really knew what was going on. We like had like a little party for him, and it was just me, him, and his mom. But it was like really depressed. But he started back school. What really messed me up is when he started back school Monday. And I went to the class with him and everything, and I sat in the class with him, and like all the kids had on masks, and it just looked real sad. Like, it just really messed me up. I got kind of depressed behind that.
Yeah, a lot of the time it's important to acknowledge it and realize that it is here and it is a big part of our lives, whether we like it or not, and we can't change it. So I just think it'd be better for everybody to learn different ways to cope with it and move on with their lives. Does anybody have anything to add on to that?
Sure, I'll add something. I guess for me personally, COVID was pretty like bad because I'm so used to interacting with friends and family members. Clearly, we weren't able to do that as much. And it definitely like sent me into a depression, I would say. Like into a kind of deep depression where I went to the doctor and they put me on meds. I didn't like them, so I just stopped taking them. But yeah, definitely like affected me. Started feeling down in the dumps a lot more.
Yeah, and for me, it hit especially hard because I'm going to be honest, I had really bad social anxiety before it even hit. And then on top of that, it's like, in a way, it's sad to say, but I almost forgot how to function and like how to really be myself while still working towards a goal. And it's like my whole world crumbled when it hit.
So, you know, I've always had like depression, like my mind can't make serotonin, but I never really took antidepressants until I think I started 2 months ago. And they work. They genuinely do work. So if you do have depression, you definitely should get some sort of antidepressant, Prozac, which is fluoxetine, etc., etc.
The best way to do this is to seek professionals, whether that be a good therapist community, like a therapy center, because professionals are the ones to diagnose you with this. They are the ones to help with these problems that you have. They're here to help, and it's really is important to just make sure that you can work things out.
And I would just jump in on that because I'm so glad to hear that like that's working for you, but also mental health is so personal and so individual. Like we just hear Nakira sharing, like that wasn't the right path for her to manage her depression. So I think the most important thing if you're going to go on this journey of trying to figure out how to treat your mental health is to be your own advocate and your own best ally. No doctor knows better than you, right? They might be able to, they know more about the side effects and what to expect, but they don't know you, you know you better than anybody else. So be your best advocate, because for a lot of people, medication doesn't work and they have side effects that cause other problems. So I think it's so important that everybody feel really empowered to have a voice and to find your own journey and how you want to treat that and work with that.
So to add on to a Phoebe's statement, maybe antidepressants aren't for you, but if you think they are, definitely don't be scared to, you know, ask for help.
Very well way of putting it.
Because a lot of people are super anxious or scared about it because they think that they aren't normal for it. But depression is an extremely common thing, especially among teens now. So if you do, like, feel depressed, tell someone if you can.
Yeah. Tell somebody that really cares. And sometimes it might be tough. Sometimes you don't have people that care. And you really do have to work through it. Keep on living and just keep on being you. There's going to be ups and downs. But if you can get through it. It may be hard, but what always helped me is looking at the bright side of things. And this is a really serious topic. Anybody have anything else to add on to that?
You know, slightly different direction, but I think one of the things that I've found hard with COVID is it kind of threw off everybody's routine, right? And I'm thinking, we talked a little bit about talking about insomnia on the show today. Like, I'm imagining that, you know, just having a very different habit, and I'm curious how that affected folks, if anyone wants to talk to that, and if that's made a difference on just how you're able to get through the day.
For me, when it first hit, it was almost ironic. Like, for me, my experience was I was excited. I was getting the weeks off of school, and it's really just the way things were to have been. Nobody could just see this coming, and it's really important that everybody just keeps on working through this.
For me, when it came to work, like, we went from being in the office every day to now we have to work from home. So, like, I'm looking at the same four walls all day, or going upstairs, sitting in my room for 2 minutes, going back downstairs, going to the kitchen. Like, it was throwing me off because I don't like to work from home, me personally, because I feel like when I'm working from home, it gives me even more of a reason, like, okay, not to really work.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's just so much easier to fall back on the bad habits that you have when you're home and relaxing. And it's definitely harder for people to be able to separate between the two of work and home. And something that could tie into that is imposter syndrome, where it feels like you almost don't deserve it. And what I recommend to do is try to find a clear balance between work and home, especially with the way things are now.
You know, things are getting pretty heavy. Noah, should you do your more lighthearted topic?
Yeah, I think that would be a good way to segue into this. So this is a big jump from just super deep stuff into just some lightheartedness, just goofing around. Would you rather sleepwalk every night or sleep talk every night? Any opinions on that?
Well, don't if you wake up, like, while you're sleepwalking, you can get, like,
I'd rather sleep talk.
You'd rather sleep talk?
Yeah. I don't want to fall down and break nothing.
Yeah, that's true. Sleepwalking is super interesting with the way it works. And I've heard so many rumors if you wake somebody up while they're sleepwalking, something bad happens. I'm not sure really how true that is. But
yeah, that's what I was saying, but I didn't know how to word it.
I wonder if you would sleep talk, if you would reveal any, like, embarrassing secrets about yourself. That's what I'm worrying about.
You probably would, because dreams are, like,
subconscious.
Yeah, subconscious. Yeah. If you have an overwhelming sense of guilt, you're going to have a dream about it. Usually dreams, like, they're like images from your head, basically.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And it's, so it's like, I guess it's really in between. Would you rather potentially harm something, yourself, break something, or spill a really embarrassing secret about yourself? And, ooh, that's kind of tough. I say it's kind of tough, but I wouldn't really want
to. I mean, I have something similar to sleep talking. So I have a breathing thing where, like, so it's considered a breathing thing, just like snoring. But I groan while I sleep without me noticing. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Yeah, that could, that might be able to, like, no offense, that might freak someone out if you don't explain it to them. And yeah, I think I'd rather sleep talk. I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to hurt myself. And there was this one really interesting story. I can't remember this horse. I'm really sorry. But it was this one guy who, when he sleepwalked, he was able to just draw really interesting portraits that he couldn't do when he was awake. And I could be wrong about this, but that's something I heard. So I wonder if, like, it really would affect every person differently for sleepwalking.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating.
Yeah. John from Garfield.
What does that have to do with this?
Garfield.
Yes.
Elaborate.
Lasagna.
You know, that is very true. I think we could all use a lasagna in these trying times. But another good one is, would you rather be pelted with a tennis ball or with tennis balls for 1 minute, or be pelted with water balloons for 10 minutes?
Okay, so I'm not going to lie. Water balloons kind of hurt, especially if it's on bare skin. And you
really?
If you don't do it right, they don't pop. They just hit your skin and it
and
just
then falls
stings.
Down and yeah. Then it pops. I know what you mean.
Yeah, and it hurts really bad. But I mean, it depends on who's throwing the tennis balls.
Okay, so that is a good variable to put into this. Let's say just for the question, it was your best friend.
I would rather be hit by water balloons.
Would you? Well, how far away are they throwing it?
True.
Is the tennis balls coming out of that machine?
Oh, God.
If they're coming out of the machine, they're coming fast.
No, if they're coming out of the machine, I would not want to pick the tennis balls.
I'm not doing that.
No. If it's a machine, I would rather be pelted with water balloons for 10 minutes.
Honestly, same. But, like, if it's human-powered, then probably tennis balls.
Really?
Yeah, it depends on how the water balloons are.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't think you could throw tennis balls that hard.
Yeah. True.
I mean, it is only for 1 minute. Okay, let's add another variable onto this question. Would you be able to dodge?
Yes.
Yes? You're able to dodge both.
But then you wouldn't be pelted for 1 minute. You would be like, you could literally just dodge all of them, then get hit.
Well, if you're
once.
Able to dodge all of them, that is.
Well, yeah, but then you wouldn't be getting pelted for one whole minute. You would be dodging.
So you don't think dodging is a variable we could
add
to this?
Probably not.
Okay. So, final answers, everybody.
Water balloons?
Water balloons.
Tennis balls.
You know, I think Nick brings some valid points. I think I'd also have to go with tennis balls. Just for 1 minute.
Balls.
What about you, Phoebes?
I'm going to go with water balloons because I'm still, like, the word pelt kind of implies hard.
Oh, that is
true.
Oh,
yeah, that's true. I didn't even notice that.
That might
exactly.
I'm kind of feeling like water balloons are, like, if you get in a water balloon fight, it usually lasts, like, 10 minutes.
Because when he said
water
pelt, I automatically thought about the machine.
Like, I felt the
Yeah,
pain.
But it also says pelted by water balloons.
You know, when the word
right,
pelt was added.
I do agree that water balloons can hurt more than people anticipate, but mm-hmm. at the same time,
okay.
I don't know.
Before we move on, there's one more thing. Would I be able to throw them back?
Probably not.
Probably not. Then, yeah, I'd probably go with Dennis Falls.
Nate, we haven't heard from Nate yet. Nate, you got any opinion on this? You still with us?
Probably water balloons.
Water balloons.
What about the one prior to this?
Oh, yeah. Do you have, Nate, do you have anything to add? Would you rather sleepwalk every night or sleep talk every night? Any opinions on that?
Sleep talk.
Any reasons behind that?
Not really, I guess.
Yeah, it's just really picking your poison type of situation.
It's just, like, weird, I guess. Like, you're sleeping and then you're going to traffic, I guess. Because that happens.
Yeah.
Noah, do you think
I'll
we should...
I'll say from my experience, seeing somebody sleepwalk has messed me up.
Oh, really?
Than hearing somebody sleep talk. Like, my sister used to sleepwalk, and I was, like, really scared that she was going to kill me at night. I was like... jam my door like on
really?
The lock and, like jam my door yeah it really freaks me out, so I don't know how that affects my decision. I think I wouldn't want to put my loved ones through that.
Yeah, that's fair. And I've heard somebody describe sleep talking as almost you're in the back seat to your conscious. I see, if it's something, if I was doing something cool during sleepwalking, like painting or drawing, like that one guy,
like John from Garfield.
Are you just going to mysteriously bring that up every few different questions?
Whenever you bring up painting, I'm going to bring up Garfield.
Okay, so how does that correlate? Can you explain?
Because when you said painting, I thought of Garfield, so it correlates.
Okay, I could definitely see where you're coming from with that. Does anybody have anything to add on to John from Garfield?
Okay, so basically, you know how I say I groan when I sleep? If you're in a, you know how you go into a light sleep before you actually, like, sleep and you can wake up super easy?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you wake up, like, I wake up when I groan sometimes and I can hear myself and I'm like,
really?
What? Yeah, so it might be the same thing with sleep talking.
Ooh, that's.
But I don't know.
That almost, like, sends shivers down my spine
it's
in a
really,
way.
It's a really surreal experience, but.
Yeah,
so
I can.
I want to do a thing where I bring back this. To our earlier topic, because sleeping was a thing we were talking about with mental health and how important sleep
ooh.
Is. So I'm wondering if anybody has anything they want to share about
I do.
How they make sure that, like, yeah, just like how you tend to sleep, why it's important.
So
like,
a lot of people, including me, sleep to cope. They don't want to deal with, you know, maybe their family is, you know, dehumanizing them, degrading them, etc., etc. You know, I've been through it. And you just want to sleep. You don't want to be there. It's basically a healthy alternative to the very stinky suicide.
Oh, okay. That's
because
definitely.
You don't feel anything while you're asleep.
Well, I have something to add on. I feel like you can't let sleeping really get... If you're really mentally fatigued, then maybe you do need to take the mental break from yourself. But for me, I think... I'm the type of person who needs to really manage my responsibilities to feel happy.
Well, yeah, but you also can't sleep. You have super bad insomnia.
Yeah, that is true. I'm speaking from a viewpoint of where I can't sleep. I do like sleeping, too, which is annoying to balance because I love dreaming. Lucid dreaming is something I've actually got into before. There's a bunch of different ways to do it, but the short description is pretty much you can control what happens in your dreams, and it's like you're genuinely in a different world where you're piloting it.
I don't sleep a lot. I probably sleep like 4 hours a day.
Oh, really?
I'm not a big sleeper, and I never take naps.
Does it, like, affect your physical state? Like, you don't feel fatigued at all during it?
No.
No, really?
I don't really sleep a lot, and I really dread sleeping.
I have a question.
Like, when it's time for me to sleep, I really be like, now I have to sleep.
I have a question.
Yeah,
do
I can
you
see
use,
that.
Do you use caffeine as a substitute?
I don't drink coffee, no.
No, really? That's really interesting.
Well,
that
not just coffee.
I don't drink
energy
any
drinks.
Caffeine. I don't drink no energy drinks. I don't drink
soda. That's really interesting.
None of that.
Even when I do get sleep, sometimes I feel like I need caffeine to be able to, Wow.
That's all mental.
Yeah, that is true.
I like to sleep. That's probably like my top favorite thing to do is sleeping.
Do you ever have cool dreams that you like to...
Oh, jeez. It depends. It's really weird, but I feel like depending on some of the things I eat before I go to sleep,
really,
they affect my dreams. Yes.
That's
one
super
of the things, really reasons that I don't like to sleep is because my dreams, I think my dreams aren't dreams. I actually go into other dimensions when I'm asleep.
Lucid dreaming moment.
Like, I be in dreams where I have the same family members, but they're not my cousins, and they're like my brother in this dream. It's
That's
weird.
Really weird.
And then I have dreams where I'll be like, the family members don't exist. Certain family members don't exist.
So it's like an alternate reality almost.
Yeah, like an alternate dimension. It's weird.
Now I'm wondering if I'm in a dream.
Well, I had this really weird dream like a few years ago that kind of stuck with me because it made no sense.
Nick, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we actually have to do a news break. But that's a super interesting cliffhanger, a super like interesting dream that we're going to talk about when we're done.
Well, it's not a really interesting dream.
Oh,
it's
no?
just weird.
Okay, well, we can definitely leave like a weird cliffhanger on that. So we are going to have to go into a news break.
Wait a minute.
This is a super interesting subject, and I hope you guys all stick with us.
Garfield.
That's awesome.
Hello. And welcome to the better weather for Friday, September 17th. Mid-60s on the thermometer kick the day off.
Sorry about that, guys. That was the wrong one.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Sam Rowden's report for Columbia Green Media that the City of Hudson Industrial Development Authority approved on September 15th a payment in lieu of taxes for the Galvin Foundation to build new affordable housing. That approval came after the Hudson Planning Board on September 14th voted for a negative declaration for the project on the State Environmental Review. The group proposes to build 84 apartments priced at market, 54 apartments priced for low income, and 20 priced for moderate income tenants on 7th Street and State Street. The project includes 1,000 square foot ground floor commercial spaces with a preference given to women and minority owned businesses. The group said in a prepared statement, and I quote, "The Hudson-Catskill Housing Coalition supports this project because the need for housing is dire in Hudson," end quote. The City of Hudson and the entire Hudson Valley face an affordable housing crisis and older units falling off the market due to decay or being shifted to short-term rentals. That latter trend is fueled by a shortage of hotel rooms, and it has all been made worse by a wave of new buyers during the pandemic. All that has made property values skyrocket locally, pricing out long-time residents. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. William J. Kimball reports in the Daily Freeman that a lethal bug-transmitted deer disease has been found in Ulster, Dutchess, Green, Columbia, Nassau, Oswego, and Suffolk counties. There are also suspected cases in Albany, Rensselaer, and six other counties. Deer catch episodic hemorrhagic disease from midge bites. State officials in a press release said, and I quote, "The disease is not spread from deer to deer, and humans cannot be infected by deer bites or bites from midges," end quote. Five dead deer were found late last week at Oakland Lake in Hudson. Town of Saugerty Supervisor Fred Costello said earlier this week, and I quote, "Folks with ponds are experiencing regular finds of carcasses. Animals that are suffering the illness become very thirsty. They seek out bodies of water, and they die a short time later," end quote. The first hard frost should kill the midges and eliminate the disease for the season. Until then, though, expect more dead deer locally. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that Governor Kathy Hochul said on September 16th that up to 1,143 Afghan refugees could be relocating to New York. The number of refugees is based on new guidance by the U.S. Department of State, Hochul said. That number includes about 100 people in the Albany area. Governor Hochul said, and I quote, "New York has a storied history of welcoming those seeking a safe haven from violence and persecution. A proud tradition our state continues today by helping evacuees from Afghanistan rebuild.
The heart-wrenching images and stories of people fleeing their homeland were a call to action that New York State is more than willing to answer. We welcome our new Afghan friends with open arms and pledge to provide them with the assistance they can rely on to rebuild anew, end quote. The United States gave up on a 20-year war in Afghanistan recently after thousands of citizen and military deaths and trillions of taxpayer dollars spent. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello, everybody. We're back, and we're going to get back into the dream that Nick had that he wanted to talk about. But first, he said he was going to make an interesting joke, so I'm curious to hear that.
Okay, so I went to get a drink, and I came back, and the news was on. And it was so confusing. Like, I just don't understand. What was it about deers?
Wait, do you not remember your joke?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, moving on to that, back into Nick's dream. Do you remember your dream at all?
Barely.
Okay.
Okay, I was in, like, fifth grade, so this was, like, 5 years ago. And, okay, so something about a pool of water and a Tasmanian devil was drowning in it.
What?
So
that's wild.
So in fifth grade, right, I had a weird obsession with Tasmanian devils because I think they
really
looked cool. Yeah.
They do kind of look cool. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I wanted one as a pet, but then I realized that they're extremely aggressive. So I guess that my
that made your way into your subconscious and you were like really bummed out about not being able to own a Tasmanian devil.
Yeah.
And that worked your ways into your dreams.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Didn't you?
Yeah,
one time, I remember you slept over at my house, right? And you had this weird, wild dream and it ended with like a black screen in your dream and it says, like, get ready for part two.
Yo, I honestly forgot about that, but thank you for remembering me. That was wild, honestly. Okay, so basically, anyway, back to the Tasmanian devil. So
okay.
I guess that my subconscious was so sad about not being able to have an extremely aggressive exotic animal that the way it coped with it is to make it die in my dream.
Jeez, that's really tough. I'm sorry you had to go through that. So, since we just got done talking about dreams and stuff, we could go back into that, but we had something planned. We were going to talk about identity and how it can relate to us and the LGBTQ community. We're going to tie that in as well. So, does anybody want to start us off with that?
I feel like you should, Noah.
Me? Oh, okay. Putting all the pressure on me. I'm a bit nervous. No, I'm just messing around.
I feel like it should be Noah, then Phoebes.
Okay. That's a good way to put it. Good organization. So for me, I think I'm really glad the world is just opening up and ready to accept people for who they are and we don't have to hide it. Because if you look back into different instances of history, you find that many people were actually
homosexual, such as the Romans and the Greeks.
Yeah, Achilles is actually one of them, because Achilles wrote love letters to his, for the longest time, historians wrote it as his male best friend, and they were sword mates or something, and it turns out that they were all really explicit love letters, and that's really interesting to me that people really have been feeling this way, and it's almost a pressure to try to hide who
you
are.
Well, yeah, but that's because I personally, like, if you think about it, bisexuality especially is like a natural part of the human body.
No matter,
like me as a straight, still asexual, but straight male.
Just
level.
Clearing this out, asexual just means you don't find any interest in sexual
like
relations,
me,
right? Is
and
that,
I'm sure,
if that's correct?
Yeah.
Okay,
and
just
I'm
making
sure all
sure.
of you can agree. You can look, even if you're straight, you can look at someone of your own gender and acknowledge that they look good. You can
yeah.
say that, you know, they look physically attractive.
I think I know what you mean. You
in
can...
your, yeah. Like, name an attractive actor that's a guy.
Actor? I don't know many actors off the top of my head. Anybody else want to?
Let me see. Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp. Isn't, like, the internet obsessed with him? Doesn't everybody think he looks good? Like, isn't another
Johnny
somebody
Depp,
like that?
Johnny Depp. Brad Pitt.
Ryan Reynolds. I know a lot of people think
Ryan
he's attractive.
Ryan Reynolds is super funny. I love Ryan Reynolds movies.
So, adding on to that, it's not, a little bit what we were talking about before. I think it is super important to be your real self. And I know it's really sad that some of the world, especially some parts that aren't as accepting, almost want you to hide it. And if you're really in a place where it isn't a life or death thing, I think it would really be better to benefit from being your real self. That is my opinion, but it's...
It's better to be yourself than to change yourself for others.
That's a very good way of putting it. It's you don't want to change yourself for others because then you're losing parts of yourself. You're gonna
and if
be
someone
losing...
doesn't accept you for how they are, then you should drop them because they're not real. They're not real.
They don't
friends.
Care about you. They care about the idea of you. I think that's the way I would put it.
Either the idea of you or the attention that you give them.
Phoebes, do you have anything to add on to this?
I mean, I think y'all are making super great points, but I think this is relevant on, you know, in so many different identity areas, right? But I think, you know, I think one of the things that can be hard growing up in a small town, I grew up in like Schoharie County, even more rural than Catskill. I was like really in the closet. I was also like in a different time.
Oh yeah, Phoebes.
I'm a little bit older, but like, yeah, I, like, didn't acknowledge my bisexuality. I was, like, very shut down around that. But what I realized, right, I was, like, trying to please that community at that time because that's who I was around. But then I shut myself down from the whole incredible, huge LGBTQ community that is out there in the world, right? And so it's better to be your authentic self and to trust that the people who are going to hold you and love you for yourself are going to show up in your life because that does happen.
And especially another thing to add on to that, is when you are your real self and you just find somebody you click with, whether it be a friend, a romantic interest, a role model, it's so nice to be able to be your real self around them and have them acknowledge that and just see how the chemistry builds. And that's something that's awesome. And that's something that we should really put out there. And everybody should experience having somebody in their
life
that really
cares
for them.
The LGBTQIA community is super accepting.
They are so accepting. It's if you have any questions about your identity, even if it isn't about your gender or sexuality, they would be so happy to help you figure out who they are because a lot of them have been in a place similar to that.
Most of them have. And
most
even
of them,
now
yeah.
they constantly have hate speech against them. Which
yeah,
is pretty,
it is really sad.
Yeah, it's really silly.
But at
people
the same time,
shouldn't do that.
At the same time, it is always good to look at the positive and things and say, wow, look at this. Our community, society is really starting to accept people as who they are. Does anybody have anything to add on to that?
Not necessarily, no.
No?
Does anyone want to share their experiences?
Oh, wait, hold on. What about you, Nate? We haven't heard from you that much. Do you have any interesting takes on this?
Not really.
Okay, I get you.
So I know that three of us here are part of the LGBTQIA plus community. I don't know about anyone else, but I know three of us are. Do you have any experiences, positive or negative, to share?
Well, for me, I am queer. I identify with some parts of the LGBTQ plus community. I'm not sure if I'm ready to really just express that. And for the best advice I can give is that you have to really think for yourself what would be the best from an inwards looking out perspective. How will this affect me? And it's okay to not want to reveal it about yourself. Yeah, sometimes it could even take time to accept yourself.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
That's completely okay, as long as I would say you work towards really accepting yourself for who you are. Because I think, in my personal opinion, that's one of the most wonderful things that you can do.
Yeah, learning to accept who you are is different for everyone for everyone. So I personally accept. So I was never super sexual. I was always sort of awkward when someone was talking sexually because, you know, teens do that. They make super sexual jokes, etc. And I was just never like that. But the thing that made me realize it is I was watching a show and the main character was Ace. And I
What show is this, by the way?
One Piece. Luffy. One Piece?
Oh.
Luffy, the main character, is asexual.
Oh, yeah. I actually remember you telling
me
about this.
He's also aromantic.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what made me, like, realize it. I sort of just thought that I just had a really low libido, but...
And even if you do just have a low libido, that's also normal. You can... A lot of times you also don't want to label yourself and you can acknowledge you're different. That's completely fine, too. Remember, this is for you. This is accepting yourself.
Also, and a big thing is that asexuality and, like, just... all of LGBTQIA is a spectrum. Like, me, on a romantic level, I'm straight, but sexually, I'm asexual.
And that's completely okay.
Yeah.
No, and everybody has different experiences. Does anybody have anything at all to add on to that before we move on? Because this is a very interesting topic, very important.
I mean, me personally, I identify as straight, but, like, I have a sister. She's bisexual. Oh, my God. Love her. I got friends. They, like, are a part of, like, some of my closest friends. A lot of them are a part of the LGBTQ plus community. And I'm grateful to have grown up and, like, had friends of those different, you know, that were different from me and within that community. I'm grateful to have, like, been exposed to that, because I feel like when people are not exposed, they tend to judge right off the bat instead of actually taking the time to learn who this person is before anything. Yeah.
And a good thing to do it is to don't judge anybody by their labels, especially. Don't say, oh, this person is this, so they must be like this. I think if you really want to get to know somebody, then you would want to get to know them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's a good topic, right, guys? Breaking down stereotypes. Should we do that?
Should we do that? Well, I think that depends on a lot of factors, but I think it's a lot of the time, most of the time, if not all the time, actually, is it's bad to stereotype someone, say, oh, they're like this.
Yeah,
they
definitely
have to like this. So... yeah,
it's super close-minded as well.
I don't really have much to add on to this, but if anybody else wants to chime in at all, then feel welcome to.
I like this topic because I think it's relevant to everybody.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
everybody is stereotyped in some way.
Even being straight can come with stereotypes, right? Like, at this point. So I think that I think it's a really cool thing to talk about. Like, how do you get past the stereotypes? How do you pass that?
Personally,
to Nikira's point, like, what can we do to make sure that we don't accidentally have... Like, I think we need to recognize we live in a society where the culture and our history has set us up to sort of even subconsciously have a lot of stereotypes and biases. This comes up with race a lot of times, right? It comes up in lots of different spaces. So you got to be willing and able to do your own work to kind of, like, undo that. Like, to Nakara's point, she was like, if I didn't grow up around queer community, I might have had some biases or judgments that I'm really grateful I didn't have, because I got to actually know people in that community and break that down. And I think this is where diversity is really important, and coming together to just, like, really get to know people past their labels. And also, to Nick's point, right, like, you might have a label, but even within a label, there's a huge spectrum of difference in how that expresses itself.
Yeah, like,
right?
The asexual, they have demisexual, they have asexual, et cetera, et cetera. It's just the huge spectrum.
Yeah. And another thing to add, this is almost back to what we said before, but before you judge anybody by their label, I think it's important to judge them as a person, too.
Oh, yeah, by the way,
before any of that.
Demisexual means you don't feel a sexual connection to someone until you're romantically interested in them.
Mm-hmm. So, ending off this, does anybody have anything else to say?
Not really.
No? Okay, well,
maybe,
so...
yeah.
Oh, what was that?
Well, is it, or, you know, does anybody have an experience of...
Oh, yeah,
like,
that's what I said.
Yeah.
I said experience
undoing a stereotype you had, or, like...
Oh, yeah. I can actually speak from this from the heart, because I was a very hateful person. I was, in a lot of ways...
I remember, yeah.
Yeah, very homophobic, and I think part of that could... And just queerphobic in general, and I think a lot of... my queer phobia could have came from I'm not sure if it's because I was closeted at the time, if I just had hate in my heart and I needed it directed
maybe
towards
that,
somebody. But I genuinely, do apologize for being that way, and I'm not like that anymore. And I just wanted to say, if you, it's a really tough topic because a lot of people have a lot of preconceived notions on how they feel about other people, and it's sometimes I can understand that they almost were treated. A lot of the times, people can be treated unfairly by a certain part of a group, and that could contribute towards it. And there's a lot of factors, and I think the thing we can take away most from it is to really just give everybody the benefit of the doubt as well, because everybody is fighting a hard battle.
Something that made me realize that like a lot of stuff is wrong is that I was in a call with people on, you know, I was playing a game, and someone was homophobic, calling someone the not epic slur, and I defended the person, right? And then they felt the need to thank me, which I didn't understand because I was just being a decent human being and not being prejudiced or biased. And, like, I don't know why they would need to, like, thank me for just being a decent human being. Like, that's a big problem. Like, I don't mind being thanked, but the fact that they feel the need to express their thanks when someone's just being, like, even the most decent human being to them.
Well, I think the difference there, like, is that you actually spoke up when somebody else did something. Because as much as, I love that you're like, of course, that's just what a good person would do, right? However, like, it's really hard sometimes, it's like, to actually speak up when somebody else says something. Because that puts you in a vulnerable position, and then they might lash out at you. So I think it's, like, really, I would thank somebody if they stood up for me. And that's a big part of the culture we're always trying to, like, cultivate and promote at Clubhouse. Is like, how do we create a culture where nobody gets isolated with feeling stereotyped or bullied? Because the minute we hear something, we could all sort of just be like, that's not right. Like, can we examine that? And also, right, I think a big part of the cultural conversation right now is the terminology, right, of like calling in or calling out, right? So if somebody says something that you think is kind of like either hateful or just biased, or maybe even just like kind of like subconsciously just like not, you know, there's a range, right, of like how bad people's offensive stuff can be, right? But the idea is like you can call somebody out, which is like you really like yell at them and embarrass them, or you can call them in and be like, listen, I want to give you the benefit of the doubt, but can you hear how this comment might have been hurtful? And I think us learning how to practice that as a culture is the only way we're going to undo this, because like we just heard, you know, no acknowledge, like, I had these prejudices and things, like, you could have just been canceled, and that would have been the end of it, or we could, like,
maybe a lot of the times you have to
call you into learning so you could become the person you want to be, who is not a hateful person, right?
So something I hate is that, so people that use slurs, racial slurs, or slurs against, or, like, homophobic slurs, especially directed towards people, they say, no, I can say it, you know, I have free speech.
Just because you can say it doesn't mean you should.
No, you can't, because free speech doesn't protect hate speech.
I think this is might be getting into more political terms. Are we allowed to do that on this podcast, Phoebs?
Well, it's not really politically. Like,
yeah,
in the thing.
I can't talk about anything without getting into the social and political implications. So, yes,
okay.
We'll do it.
Okay, we can.
Yeah, so, like, the First Amendment doesn't support hate speech or anything that could be mentally harmful or physically harmful towards someone. And if someone decided to harm themselves because of what you said, you're held accountable. Like, you can't use that as an excuse, because it's not a valid excuse, because you're just blatantly and confidently wrong.
That is definitely something I can agree with to an extent.
Well, yeah, but that's not really opinionated. It's just like, it's literally written there.
Yeah, I can see that. I think that where we are right now, that some people aren't going to change. Some people are going to remain in their very queerphobic ways. And I think the best thing we can do when you acknowledge somebody who's like, who just isn't a good person, they're hurting everybody, is just acknowledge to yourself, man,
because
this person must have had a troubled past. They can't change. They can't see things for how they are. And that's just almost sad in a way. I almost pity very hateful people, because you know it's derived from something else.
Yeah, and the thing is, humans can't change unless they really want to.
That is true.
You can't persuade someone that has completely opposite views of you, because, like, you just can't. They don't want to change, so they're not going to listen to you. In order to change, you have to, you know, be open to suggestions, be open to ideas, etc., etc. If you constantly just, like, shut yourself into this label, like, you only follow a certain political party, and you only, like, believe in their ideologies, that's fine, but...
I think as a community, we should put people first to make sure nobody's suffering.
I also feel like you, like, we should all continue to try to learn, continue to learn, and to educate others on, like, different things, so it'll make it a better place.
Okay, so honestly, while I was talking, I completely forgot what I was talking about, so that's why I stopped.
I can do that too. Sometimes I'll just be in the middle of, like...
What was I talking about? I have no idea, honestly.
I don't know. It's... Now I forgot what I was talking about too. Look at that.
Right? It was just this conversation about what we can really expect from people. And I think part of this, bringing it back to mental health, right? It's like, we walk through the world, there are going to be people who we feel like are bringing us down, right? It happens sometimes. And I think part of your mental health is knowing where to draw the line, right? I think the point you had been making, Nick, was sort of like, oh, do we, there are other people that you just kind of like gotta let go, you know? And it's like, if you stop trying because they're just sort of set in their ways. And Noah very generously offered that, like, you know, a lot of people who are in that headspace maybe have their own trauma or their own stuff. That's why that's there. You can, like, kind of give them some grace. But I do think it's important to draw healthy boundaries around that. And I think what Nakira is saying is where I always land, which is, like, whenever these conversations are left just person to person, it's really hard because each person is kind of packed with all of these, like, complex, really complex dynamics that you can barely see. And it takes a lot of time and patience and commitment to actually do that. But to Nakira's point, if we create a cultural environment where we're constantly trying to teach one another, right, about these issues, trying to educate each other about things that are problematic that maybe used to be accepted in culture and how we can change from that, it kind of helps us remove ourselves from the really personal, or it gives us a space to be like, listen, I can't get into this with you, but, like, maybe you'd be willing to read this article or do some of your own research. And if you do that, then I would love to talk to you again, because it shows me that you're committed and you care and you want to, like, show up differently.
Okay,
right?
So personally, I definitely feel like even if you're having a really bad time, you have a really bad day, it doesn't excuse you from being super mean and super hateful to someone.
I agree.
It doesn't really excuse you. Like, you're not in the right for using hate speech just because you're mad. Like, that's just not how it works.
I 100% agree. And I think that's a great note for us to start to wind down on.
Yeah.
I want to offer, right now, we've heard a lot from Nick and Noah. Danny or Nate or Nakira, if you have any closing thoughts before we wind down our show.
I have a lot of say, but I don't have any time to say it. So I'm just going to end it with one closing quote by, I had to look this up, Brad Meltzer. Hopefully I'm not pronouncing that name wrong. Everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Be kind, always.
Awesome. So with that, y'all have been listening to Clubhouse Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, 8 Girl Hudson Catskill. We've got some old heads. We've got some new folks in the building. It's always exciting. It's always good topics. Anyone who wants to get plugged into the Clubhouse, we are an open community for folks who are 12 to 18 to come through. We also have some young adult programming. You can tap into this radio show. You could tap into one of the many things that we do. You could just come chill out and make some new friends.
Oh, yeah. And
we're on. Yeah, go ahead.
Hopefully me and Phoebs are going to work on, like, having a call-in feature for, like, viewers.
And
because I think that would be super.
One last unrelated thing is, I apologize for some technical difficulties. I was letting the nerves get to me a bit. I wrapped it up. We're all fine, but just wanted to add
that
as well.
Can we all give Noah a big shout-out for first time?